Hello, and thanks for joining us on the NITV News Podcast. A monument honouring Wiradjuri servicemen has been defaced with racist graffiti in the New South Wales Riverina town of Narandra. Wiradjuri local Jeffrey Johnson posted a video of the graffiti at Marie Bashir Park on a Narandra community Facebook page.
Now, I don't know who's doing this and who's done it. Someone that's really small-minded and irresponsible and just a little coward. But I tell you what, I don't want to catch someone doing them. This shit's ridiculous. I'm not going to put up with it in this town, I'm telling you now.
A new report reveals there's been a significant decline in the level of respect shown by New South Wales hospital staff for the cultural beliefs of Aboriginal patients. 12,000 Aboriginal people who accessed hospital care between 2019 and 2024 provided feedback. More than 8 in 10 rated their overall care as very good or good, and the report found support from Aboriginal health workers has a concrete impact on Aboriginal patients' overall experiences in hospital. While fewer patients reported feeling discriminated against, there was still room for improvement.
One of the largest declines was regarding the level of respect that hospital staff showed for Aboriginal patients' cultural or religious beliefs. The result for this measure significantly declined from 83% in 2019 to 77% in 2024. So there is an area for improvement there.
All this week, we've been celebrating the 25th anniversary of Cathy Freeman's gold medal winning run at the Sydney Olympics. Of course, Cathy also lit the cauldron to open the games, and in an exclusive television interview with NITV, she's told Brianna Holden that she felt totally unprepared for the moment.
Let's move on to when the games started. You were obviously chosen for what is considered one of the most significant roles that you could have.
Far out.
The lighting of the Olympic cauldron.
Cathy Freeman.
Man, I just was not ready for it at all. I was not ready. I just couldn't prepare you for being asked, you know, to do something of such a significant and powerful gesture, like, you know, opening the games.
Yeah.
So at first I was shocked, surprised. And then in the next heartbeat, it was like, look, I'm huge. This is a huge honour, yes. So it was, didn't see it coming, but yeah, a huge honour.
But how did you keep it a secret?
I didn't, basically, because I know I explained to John Coetzee, I said, listen, I broke my promise. I had to tell my two training partners. I didn't tell anyone. My coach didn't even know. And but I told Yvette Cords, my friend Cords, and Scotty, because they had to understand why. They needed to understand because we basically lived in each other's pockets, training together, living together, spending all of this time together, and they needed to just have an idea of what I was walking toward, what I was moving towards, so that they, you know, because they became like family in a sense. Family away from family, and you know, we had to lean on each other, and I needed their support, so you know, just that sort of understanding.
I remember the look on your face, and it was so fierce and so powerful to me.
Oh,
and I think it kind of stuck with me as a child. I want to know what you were thinking in the moment when you're walking, you know, up the steps, and you have it's a powerful moment for me. And so what was going through your mind? Who did you have with you? What did you have with you in your thoughts?
My thoughts was mainly around safety, to be really honest. because I had just come off having laryngitis, and a lot of athletes, when they pull back from training, their immune systems become weaker, and I just had, this is probably, I don't know if this is well known, but it doesn't matter. But I'd just come off having a really bad bout of laryngitis. And so I was walking into quite a, you know, it ended up being quite a stressful moment because people are under pressure to make sure things work well. And, you know, how many people around the world are watching, you know, the investment and, you know, and that social meaning, you know, aspect as well, you know. But I was just thinking about being safe, walking up the stairs, walking across the water, surrounded by fire. So,
in your fire safety suit.
I mean, it was. I did. excuse me. Yeah, I did enjoy receiving the flame of my childhood idol, Debbie Flynoff King, and hearing people's responses in the stadium was lovely as well.
Another First Nations athlete with vivid memories of the Sydney Games was boxer Daniel Gill. While he didn't win a medal, Gill says the Games set him up with the experience to pursue his professional career.
I had goals set from many, many years before, and you know, to achieve those goals, yeah, it was amazing. You know, my friends, my family, everybody supported me the whole way through. Being a young fighter, the pressures of the Olympics, and I was the first Australian to fight as well. So there was, I felt a little bit of pressure at that stage, but it was very close. And unfortunately, I didn't get the decision. But you know, it was a huge learning curve for me. And obviously, yeah, when the Commonwealth Games come around, I felt like a little bit older, a couple of years older, and I knew that I was going to compete very well at the Commonwealth, and you know, fortunately I did. And yeah, once that happened as well, once I got that taste of a big victory like that, I still wanted more.
And still champion Daniel Real Deal.
I just enjoy coaching, enjoy helping people out. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have some good young fighters here training with me. And
good, left up or left hook? And right. Nice, good timing.
Now, if anybody's, yeah, keen to train, then obviously I'm keen to pass on all my experiences as well. So, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff. So, yeah, if I can help people out and improve their boxing skills, then I'm going to do that for sure.
And today marks 25 years to the day that Cathy Freeman stopped the nation with that remarkable race. Join us tonight for a special edition of NITV News honouring the legacy of that historic performance. Now to a new First Nations performance, which is lighting up Maywa, the Brisbane River, as part of this year's Brisbane Festival. In his first major commission since leaving Bangarra Dance Theatre, Stephen Page is bringing his contemporary ceremony, Mudjan, to his hometown. The performances are taking place on a floating barge, with the setup made of 39 fiberglass whale bones, each 3 metres tall. Baleen Mudjan tells the story of a proud elder, a curious granddaughter, and the day a baleen whale comes close to shore.
My mother's a Noonuggle-Noogie woman. This was a gift to her about generational cultural knowledge being displaced and rekindling that knowledge through this story.
And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more Indigenous news, tune into NITV News Weeknights. And stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.